Now to finish off today's show, we join Dr. Hal and Sideshow Dave again, who've got some more Vibrant experiments for us this week.
Vibrant is one way to put it. Here's Laura Soule.
In last week's show, you had a taste of what Dr. Hal and his assistant Dave Campbell showed us when they took time out of their Ministry of Chemistry tour to visit us. Last time, it was all about gases. This week, we'll be delving into something a little more dangerous. First up was the silent but deadly phosphorus sun.
This experiment, we're using two of the evil elements. First, we're using the devil's element. We're using white phosphorus. 0.1 gram of that can be a fatal dose if ingested. And if that wasn't bad enough, in here we've got the ultimate oxidant at minus 180.
No.
Liquid oxygen. What we're going to do is we're going to burn white phphosphorus in pure oxygen. So what we're going to do is put liquid oxygen into this big light bulb shaped container and let that evaporate off, and that'll make a pure oxygen environment. So in it goes into our container, and one mole of any gas occupies 22.4 litres, and I think we've got more than a mole of oxygen in there. Look at it, it's boiling away, and as soon as we put the lid on, what's going to happen is it's going to start evaporating and boiling, hence our exhaust pipe is bubbling away quite happily. I think we're nearly there. We've got some oxygen in our environment, and now we need to go to the next danger phase, which is white phosphorus. Now, the reason white phosphorus is so unreasonable is that it quite often catches fire spontaneously in air. So what I need to do is grab my selected piece of phosphorus, and in it goes. And again, it didn't catch fire again, Dave. Isn't that great?
Yeah, it's good. So far, so good.
Okay. So Dave's going to heat up this copper rod. So we give it a shove in the right direction. Let's have the lights down, please.
There you go.
And I'm just going to touch the copper rod onto the white phosphorus, and off it goes. And there we have the beautiful phosphorus sun. And the phosphorus is boiling away, burning away, in a beautiful tendrils of phosphorus pentoxide. Curiously, it looks like it should be hot to the touch, but it's not. It's cold to the touch, lots of light, and very little heat.
Beautiful tendrils there, you're lovely. Showing that really nicely.
The glowing blue jellyfish tendrils of phosphorus oxide really were a sight to behold as they sank gently through the oxygen gas. After that, they moved on to something a little more explosive.
Dave,
yeah.
Chicken though you are, I thought it appropriate that you did your exploding chicken's egg. So pick up the egg and tell us what we're going to do.
What I'm going to do is fill up this egg with hydrogen.
So what we're going to have is a hole at the top and a hole at the bottom.
Correct.
We're going to fill it with hydrogen.
Yes.
And then you're going to light the hydrogen at the top. And it's going to burn off because there's no oxygen in the egg.
That's it, yeah.
But as it burns off, it's going to suck in air from the bottom. And after it gets to about 98% mixture,
then
it'll explode. That's done.
I think it feels okay. Yeah. Yeah. Right, okay.
Right, there we go.
Here we go.
Who's going to light it, Dave? Me or you?
Go on, you light it.
3, 2, 1. Okay, it's lit. Now, we never ever go back to an unexploded egg. Then you walk up to it and it blows up in your face.
But see the face just when you're not expecting it.
Oh!
Hydrogen and oxygen really is an explosive mix. However, unsatisfied with that bang, Hal and Dave moved on to bigger things.
Right, well, that was quite a good day, and it did explode. But I think we can do better than that, can't we, Dave?
Yes.
I think that chicken's eggs are for little chickens, but real scientists do it a bit bigger. I think it's time to wheel out the heavy artillery, Dave.
Woohoo, not
the exploding ostrich. Da, da, da. So, let's do the experiment again and see if we get a bigger bang with an ostrich egg. So once again, I'm going to fill this with hydrogen, and I need to explain why it's so critical. Because if this goes off and there's oxygen in the egg when I light it, I will suffer a reduction in the number of fingers I have. So, we're filling up the egg. So it's critical we have a pure hydrogen environment inside it. And that's why I've got my finger on the top, and that's what the hissing noise is, me venting the egg properly. We'll then light it behind those safety screens, because this produces lots of jagged shrapnel. All right, lots of it flying around. So it's quite a high-hazard experiment. And this produces 130 decibels.
So I think everybody should be having put their fingers in the ears.
Yep.
People at home as well, you think? Listen to the radio.
I think radio probably attenuates.
Okay. But anyway, I think we're nearly there. Another 5 seconds to go.
5 seconds.
4, 3, 2, 1.
The egg's lit. The shields are together. The flame is on. Fingers in your ears. Big bang coming up. The hydrogen's burning off with that yellow flame. The flame's going to go from yellow to blue as it gets more oxygenated. And then anything can happen. Fingers in your ears, guys. It's going to go off. Big old bang. Oh, Dave. That's fantastic.
That worked rather well.
Dematerialised. Bye-bye, little egg. Little ostrich. Wow. Bigger bang for your buck with the exploding ostrich egg.
Poor ostrich. We were glad the safety shield held. Next, we saw a truly amazing experiment where you can really see chemistry in action.
The barking dog reaction, a classic reaction, the only gaseous phase chemiluminescence, and an example of the diesel effect all in one experiment.
I can't wait either.
Now, inside this tube I have, which is about 75 centimetres long, we have nitrous oxide, laughing gas. But we're not laughing now, are we, Dave?
Certainly not. No.
And we're going to put in some carbon disulfide, and in common with lots of sulfur compounds, it stinks. So when there's a real smell in the lab, this time it's not Dave, it's the CS2.
There we go.
Right, so CS2's got quite high vapour pressure, so I'm going to mix it all up, and what we're going to do is get a beautiful mixture of CS2 and nitrous oxide in this, and the nitrous is going to oxide the CS2, and we're going to get a lovely blue flash. So, what we're looking out for, let's just summarise once more, is a blue flame slowly going down the tube. That's the chemiluminescence.
Yes.
Which is compressing the residual gas ahead of it. And at some point, depending on the diameter of the tube, you get a diesel explosion, the same as what happens in a diesel engine, which is why they don't need spark plugs.
Quite.
And that's going to explode, pushing out the atmosphere, which is the characteristic woof of the dog. 3, 2, 1. Oh, great. That was a good one. It burnt down halfway, and then it accelerated at the end, and we've got a beautiful coating of sulphur, brimstone, which is the sulphur from the CS2 that's been reduced.
Not bad, eh?
And that smell that's ripping my lungs apart is some sulphur dioxide, which is produced as a byproduct of the reaction.
There was a beautiful bright glow as the reaction moved down the test tube, releasing light and heat energy, fluorescing like a glow stick. The heat caused the gas in the tube to expand and vibrate violently, creating the awesome bark of the dog. But Dr. Hal decided that just wasn't good enough for the Naked Scientist listeners and really upped his game, from a 70-centimetre test tube to one that was over 2 metres long.
When this goes off, it's 7 foot of angry chemistry, barking dog rage. All right, this is ready to go. And spraying us all with CS2. Okay, so on it goes there. So, 3, 2, 1. The explosion was more than the tube could bear. What happens is the diesel explosion happens there. It's got to go somewhere, but it can't release the pressure up the tube fast enough in this case, so it blew out the side.
And that is one of the many reasons why you should not try this at home. As the glass shards settled to the floor, Hal and Dave brought out their last remaining test tube for the finale, determined to show us how spectacular the big dog can be.
So, for the listeners, I've got a 7-foot test tube, primed and loaded, ready for a big barking dog. 3, 2, 1... Fire in the hole. Wow, what a good one.
It was a good one, that one.
Did you see that big bang, Dave?
Yep.
And can you see the sulphur from the CS2? Look at it. And can you smell the sulphur dioxide?
Oh, gosh, it's marvellous.
I love the smell of sulphur dioxide in the morning.
That really was an ear-splitting woof. The Naked Scientists had great fun with Dr. Hal. If that has whet your appetite for more, go to drhal.co.uk where you can find out what he's up to, plus see experiments that you can try at home. If you want to actually see the experiments that we did with Hal, go to thenakedscientist.com/kitchenscience and have a look at our videos.
So lots of explosions there, and I must admit I really enjoyed the barking dog, and it was so powerful that it smashed the glass.
I did enjoy it too, except for the flying glass hurtling towards me, but I did have my safety goggles on, so it was all fine.
Yeah, it really, it did hurt my delicate little ears. But sadly, that's it for today's show, and also for our series of highlights from the Naked Scientists. But the good news is, our live show is back next week.
Yep, we'll be starting the new series with a Q&A show, and we're primed and ready to answer all those questions you've been waiting all summer to ask. So if you've been dying to know the answer to something, send in your questions to chris@thenakedscientists.com.
And a big thank you to our production staff this week, Tom Simpkins, Ben Valsler, Dave Ansell, Laura Soul, and Chris Smith. Thanks for listening. Goodbye.
The Naked Scientist podcast comes to you from Cambridge University and is supported by the Wellcome Trust, the EPSRC and UK FAST. For more information, look us up online at nakedscientist.com.